I'm Steve Potter. This is Cityscape, and here are some of the stories that our newsroom is following today. The City of St. Louis's Aldermanic Ways and Means Committee announced today that it will meet next week to vote on a funding plan for a new Riverfront Stadium. The city is under a tight timeline to approve a plan in order for NFL owners to consider it at their meeting in January. And supporters of Planned Parenthood are organizing a rally tomorrow outside its St. Louis clinic. The event is part of a national effort to support the agency and to mark last week's fatal shootings at a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website, stlpublicradio.org. Well, Joan Rivers came to prominence on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson back in 1965. She went on to host a number of other programs herself, and she died in September of last year at the age of 81. Well, Joe Poza is doing a Joan Rivers tribute show tonight and tomorrow night. Welcome, Joe. Nice
hello,
to meet you.
Hello, my darling. So great to be here and to be here in St. Louis. So happy, so happy.
That's an impersonation, right?
Yes, it certainly
okay,
is.
I wanted to make sure.
But I want you to know I did die and I went to heaven, but God rejected me. Yes, he didn't recognize me because I've had so much plastic surgery.
That's Joe Poza. Also here, Tony Tripoli, who worked with Rivers in a couple of different ways. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you. I was not her lover.
That was my next question.
Yeah. She had plenty of gay guys swirling around her, but none of us were doing that, providing that service.
More on that later. And also here, Kyle Husted. He is the general manager of The Monocle, which is a new, fairly new venue in the Grove.
Yeah, we're a wonderful cabaret venue. We have the cabaret called The Emerald Room, which is just behind The Monocle, located at 4510 Manchester.
That's near the brewery there, right?
Yeah, right across the street from Urban Chestnut.
Well, good. And I know you do a lot of things. Like the Leslie Jordan, I think, was just there, I saw.
Yeah, we just hosted Leslie, and we're trying to bring a nice mix of local and national acts to the stage.
Well, Joe Poza. How long have you been doing Joan? How long have you been doing Joan Rivers?
I would say about 12 years, and I had the opportunity to work with her as Joan, you know, in costume, and she was just the most gracious and generous person, and really loved the art of drag and people that, you know, impersonated her. So I just really feel like putting her out there again and having people hear her voice and her, you know, non-politically correct humor is what we need and what I really enjoy to bring to the stage.
Right. So she's only been gone a little more than a year. So you're doing it for a long time while she was still working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been doing and again, she was very supportive. I had the opportunity to meet her. You know, Tony Tripoli had introduced me to her. I worked with her at many events. And I feel her presence within the show. And I hope people do come out and support the show. And just to hear her voice. Again, you want me to do a little Joan? I'll just say that I'm happy as Joan to bring the edgy comedy to the Emerald Room. Because being the holidays, everybody, I do a lot of charity work, which is great. Like I do something for sexually deprived seniors. It's called Feels on Wheels, which is great. So now I get to do edgy comedy at the Emerald Room. Great.
Kyle, what do you think? One thing I like about Joe's impersonation is that it sounds like her, but it's not forced. It's natural. Do you know what I mean?
No, it's completely natural. And to watch his body movement, you know, a lot of what people will see on the stage tonight are those mannerisms.
Have you had any work done?
Have you had any work done? Yeah. No, I've had more tucks than a motel bedsheet. True.
Tony Tripoli, talk a little bit about your relationship with Joan, because I know you were actually a cast member on at least one show that she did, and you wrote for her and worked with her. What's your background with
her? Yeah, no, I was the reason for her success. I think that's safe to say.
But you weren't dating her.
No. I mean, 5 years ago, I, you know, met her completely serendipitously because I was writing a different show at E! And they were bringing back Fashion Police. And they said Joan doesn't like any of the commercials that they had come up with for the new Fashion Police launch. And she demanded that three funny gay guys come over to Melissa's house the next afternoon and write new commercials. And I got to be one of those guys. And after about 10 minutes, she took me in the kitchen and she said, "You're my new head writer." She had an amazing ability to know people that were a good fit for her. She you know, called herself a dented can, and she could recognize other dented cans, you know, and we were all on the, you know, markdown shelf in the grocery. And so I mean, I wrote her tweets and jokes for the act. I was her opening act on the road. We did Fashion Police, In Bed with Joan, the reality show. It was an amazing 4.5 years.
Kyle, what was it about this act that made you want to bring it to St. Louis?
These guys are incredible. I mean, the story that is being told here, you know, the the memory of Joan, and it's so rich and such a wonderful fabric, you know. And so we want to bring things like that to the Monocle, to the St. Louis community, and let them experience these people in a really intimate setting.
You know, I think Joan Rivers really influenced a lot of people or affected them. She was really one of the first, not the first, but one of the first really nationally known women comics to achieve that kind of success, right?
Oh, definitely. She was definitely a trailblazer. She was definitely someone that, you know, just was herself. And as she has often said, you know, she made a career out of saying things people were thinking. You know, that came a bit later in her career with, again, Fashion Police and things. But, you know, and she just was a genuine spirit and said what she was on her mind.
You know, times are different today, aren't they? I mean, people say what they think now. But I remember being a little kid and watching her on the Tonight Show, and I always had the reaction, I can't believe she said that.
Yeah.
I wonder if it'd be possible to be a Joan Rivers today, because the shock value isn't there, is it?
Well, I am. I'm a Joan Rivers.
But that's the thing. I mean, you know, now everyone, my God, I mean, it's a horrible time for comedy right now. Everyone is so uptight and so offended on behalf of other people. And, you know, everyone now thinks that they can run to Facebook and do an angry post about that, what that performer said last night, and that they're somehow making the world better. And, you know, they're not. And so it's sad that Joan was really she and Don Rickles, the last two people that can go out and do for an hour just a bunch of politically incorrect, sort of insulting, inappropriate things and have it be medicinal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so really when Don goes, you know, which is inevitable, unfortunately, that really will be the closing of that book.
Hmm. She had an interesting personal life, too. I don't know how much you want to share about that. It wasn't all laughs.
Gosh, no.
No. And, you know, with comedy comes tragedy. And if you don't understand, it's a scale and a balance like anything. If you don't have the tragedy, you can't bring light to it with humor. And that's just the yin and the yang. You know, it's just that's where it comes from. And that's what I tap into as Joan. Because, yes, she had a sharp tongue and she was said what was on her mind. But she was a loving, as Tony can attest, a loving spirit that understood the human struggles. And that's where the success lies in my interpretation anyway.
We're talking about a Joan Rivers tribute show that's tonight and tomorrow night at the Emerald Room at the Monocle, which is a new venue. And Kyle, tell me just a little bit about the facility there, the Emerald Room. It's an intimate – I haven't been there. So.
Yeah, we have two spaces. The forward room is the Monocle, which is a craft cocktail bar. And then there's the back room, which is sort of a speakeasy cabaret that is called the Emerald Room. Mm-hmm. There's cocktail service throughout the show, so it's a true cabaret that way. But, you know, we're really committed to bringing to mainstream theater the art of cabaret and these entertainers and their stories and what it is that they're selling on that stage on a nightly basis. It really is an intimate environment. So everybody you see there, you develop a personal relationship with, which is what's so nice about it.
Joe, I think you said you've been doing Joan Rivers for about 12 years, did you say? How long, Tony, have you done a show together?
Well, it's funny because Joe just emailed me through Facebook and said, look, I've been doing Joan for a long time and the writing is amazing, and I know you're her head writer, and I just wanted to send congratulations from someone who really knows Joan backwards and forwards. And that was such a great compliment, and we became friends through that. And then, you know, he said, I know you opened for Joan. Would you ever want to do a gag where my Joan opens for you? And so we did that one weekend in Boston at this amazing club called Club Cafe. Yeah. And from there, this great friendship was formed, and we perform now in Puerto Vallarta and in Palm Springs,
and LA.
And, you know, so
it's just a joy. I feel honored that Tony, you know, I just feel like I'm the chosen one, so to speak. That Tony opened for her multiple times, and he opens for me. It's just very heartwarming.
For me, I want to say, you know, I got into the habit of writing these jokes for Joan, and then in an instant, she was gone.
What was the funniest joke you ever wrote for her?
I certainly cannot say it here, but she talked about the dryness that a female experiences with age, and she said that she is so unfortunately dry that when she gets into a bathtub of water, the water goes. And if Whitney Houston was as dry as she was, she'd still be
alive today.
Oh, no. Now, that is a terribly inappropriate and, dare I say, brilliant observation.
And I had to ask.
Yes, you brought that on yourself, my friend.
Tony, I did, by the way, see you not very long ago in a rerun of Two and a Half Men.
Yes. Can you? Charlie Sheen loves me. Who knew that?
You played a funny character, two guys with an adopted kid.
Yeah. We played sort of the gay alternate universe version of Charlie Sheen.
It was hysterical.
And John Cryer.
Joe, so I know that you met Joan before, but you didn't know her.
Well, you know what? When you do just meet her, you kind of get she loves you, and you could feel it. Like, she just embraced me, and she just was just very complimentary in my work. But also, she was just a mother type figure. She just said thank you, and what do you want? When I first met her, I did an event with her, and she gave me everything in her green room. Like, I had nothing in my dressing room. She gave me the extra cheese, crackers. Take this. Take it with you. And she gave me a candle. What do you want? You're so adorable. Like, she just had that nurturing quality, and it was just great.
Was she that nice, Tony?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And I want to say that behind Joe's back, when Joe and I became friends online and we're about to do the show together, I went to her and said, hey, is it okay if I go and do this show with this Joan Rivers, in person? Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, Joe, I love Joe. Yes, anything for Joe. Tell him I love. So, she knew everyone that was doing her, and Joe was her favorite.
You want to do a bit, and don't do the bathtub thing.
No. Can I do the F-bomb on that?
No.
Well, listen, if you're single out there, I want you to know there are four animals every woman wants. Listen to me now. If you're single out there, there are four animals. Yes, a tiger in the bedroom, a jaguar in the closet, a mink in the a jaguar in the driveway, a mink in the closet, a tiger in the bedroom, and a jackass to pay for it all. Listen, was I able to say that?
Yeah, I think so. Are we on? How much do you draw from her actual material, and how much do you just is new?
I watch and listen to other comics and kind of put it into Joan's voice. But a lot of it is stuff I've heard her do. Tony, actually, I reached out to him and said, what are some current things I could do, like with Trump and some of the things going on? And he gave me some great jokes, like, Trump, he hates immigrants. Yes, but he married two of them, things. And he's been kind enough to share that. So it's a combination. But a lot of her material, a lot of the stuff I do is stuff I've heard her do.
Tony, when you wrote for her, were there ever things that just didn't work? For some, did anything come to mind, like she didn't think it was funny? Or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, when I would sit and go, here, I've got these ideas. What about this? And sometimes she would just look at you and I would say, your face isn't moving. And she'd say, well, my face can't move. And so, you could tell when she didn't love a joke. But, but she would also, she loved the process of finding the good joke and then turning it into the great joke. And it was like jazz to her. She would say, oh, that's so funny. It needs to have two syllables less. And that makes zero sense to me, and I've been a comic forever. But to her, she'd be like, it's two syllables too long. And we would find the way to shorten it by two. And she would, now it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And she would be right. It would just – her voice was so specific. It was like a snare drum, and there just had to be the right amount of da-da-da-duts.
There's a rhythm, that was in her that needed to be, like you said.
And she couldn't understand it, but she knew it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Joan Rivers tribute show at the Monocle. That'll be tonight and tomorrow night at 7 p.m. The Monocle's in the Grove in the 4500 block of Manchester. If you'd like more information about that, go to stlpublicradio.org/cityscape, and we'll have information. Billy, I went to your Facebook page yesterday, and because there's a St. Louis connection, I'm going to explain real quickly. Kinky Boots, one of the producers, Rocco Landisman, grew up here in St. Louis and is one of the producers of it. But evidently, you're real close with Billy Porter.
Yes,
and
yes.
I saw that on your Facebook page just the other day.
Mm-hmm. Billy Porter, I knew in the 90s. I had met him when we were in New York doing whatnot. And I recently saw his last show last month of Kinky Boots. And he said something really great to me. He said, when I was starting doing the drag character of Lola, I thought, how do I make it real? And because he was never really a drag performer. And he said, I thought of you during the process as an actor. How would Joe approach that role? And then to which I knocked everything off his dressing table. How dare you want a Tony and I'm responsible. But Billy Porter, great, great talent and good friend.
Kyle, anything you'd like to say about making arrangements ahead of time or what to expect at the Monocle and what? That sort of thing?
I think people can expect to have a good time. I mean, they can expect to have a laugh. They can expect to have a great drink. They can expect to experience something really special on that stage.
Who do you think Joan Rivers would be making fun of today if she were alive?
Well,
yeah. I mean, you know, obviously Trump, who she was friends with because, you know, right. she won Celebrity Apprentice. But, she, you know,
be this
whole thing.
A lot of hair jokes,
with the
I guess.
Wall. Oh, so
oh,
many
yeah.
hair
and
jokes.
And if his hair's doing that, what's swirling down there? It's like a midget in a tornado. I mean, it's a
yeah, you know, so I think that, you know, I think that she would have, you know, she would have been, you know, she was a big Broadway fan. So the idea that, you know, Hamilton, you know, with people of different ethnicities playing George Washington and stuff, she would have had a lot of opinions, but it would have been a fun time.
That's Tony Tripoli. Also with us today is Kyle Husted, and he's the manager of The Monocle. And Joe Poza is Joan Rivers. And, you know, what about Melissa Rivers? Have you heard from her since you've been doing your thing? Do you know her, and has she given you any feedback on what you do?
I have not yet had the opportunity, but Tony knows.
Yeah, I was on the phone with her last night, when we were at the club, having drinks and look at the place.
But you were
so
in the alley on
doing
the
show.
Right.
She knows we're doing the show, and she, you know, she's a fan. She knows what Joe does.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
tonight, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the Monocle. Thank you, gentlemen, all for being here, and sounds like a great show. Look forward to it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
I'm Steve Potter. I hope you'll join us next week, and we're going to leave you in the spirit of the season with this recording from the 442s. Count your blessings.